Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, verses 2 and 3. So I read verse number 2, and then I'll repeat verse number 3. Saraja Mahasinirajam Sushnatam Ruchi Randrananam Kripta Swaschayam Tripam Abhyanan Upagatam. This verse says, the queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautiful, decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion. A woman is generally accustomed to dress herself nicely with fine garments and decorative ornaments. She may even sometimes wear flowers in her hair. Women specially dress themselves up in the evening because her husband comes home in the evening after working hard all day. It is the duty of the wife to dress herself up very nicely so that when her husband returns home, he becomes attracted by her dress and cleanliness and thus becomes satisfied. In other words, the wife is the inspiration of all good intelligence. Upon seeing one's wife dressed nicely, one can think very soberly about family business. When a person is too anxious about family affairs, he cannot discharge his family duties nicely. A wife is therefore supposed to be an inspiration and should keep the husband's intelligence in good order, so that they can combinedly prosecute the affairs of family lives without impediment. So here comes the verse which we read together. Tayopagunda paripa kandaro. Raho no mantra I pakrita chetanaha. Nikhalo rambo dugunde durachayam. Viva nisheti pramada parigraha. Devotees,
Mataji's.
So let's repeat. Taya by the queen. Upagundaha was embraced. Pariradha embraced. Kandaraha shoulders. Raha in a solitary place. Anu mantrai by joking words. Apakrista chittanaha having degraded consciousness. Na not. Kalaramha the passing of time. Ubude was aware of. Durachayam impossible to overcome. Diva day. Nisha night. Iti thus. Pramada by the woman. Parigraha captivated. So translation by Srila Prabhupada. Queen Puranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, King Puranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot that the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Let's repeat that. Queen Puranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, King Puranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Purport. The word purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word pramada in this verse is very significant. A beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to her husband, but at the same time is the cause of degradation. The word pramada means enlivening as well as maddening. Generally, a householder does not take in the passing of days and nights very seriously. A person in ignorance takes it as the usual course that days come, and after the days, the nights come. This is the law of material nature. But a man in ignorance does not know that when the sun rises early in the morning, it begins to take away the balance of his life. Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced. He forgets, and forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in a secluded place. Such a condition is called apakrista chetana, or degraded consciousness. Human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness. But when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. The greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment in our lives should be utilized properly, and the proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. Without devotional service to the Lord, the activities of life become simply a waste of time. Shramaiva hi kevalam. Simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, Dharma sanustittaha pumsam vishakshena katashuyaha natpadayet yatiratim shamaeva hikevalam. If after performing one's occupational duty very perfectly, one does not make progress in Krishna consciousness, it should be understood that he has simply wasted his time in valueless labor. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Queen Puranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, King Puranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot that the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Om Magyanati Mirandasya Janajanam Shalakaya Chakshuram Ritan Jaina Tashmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasaji Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first I'd like to thank you all for somehow giving me this opportunity to share these very humble realizations I have. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity, because every time we do speak, it's a great opportunity to learn. So just comment a little bit on this very enlightening purport of Srila Prabhupada. So these two verses are referring to a story which started in the songs of Lord Shiva, when he's describing the descendants of Prithu Maharaj. He describes the marriage of Bahishat, which then becomes known as Prachiha Bahishat, the emperor of the world. And his marriage, his wife, was so beautiful that even Vayu wanted to have her as a lover. But because of duty, he did not do that. And that beauty was perceived only by the tinkling of her ankle bells. All the minds of the demons were captivated by this incredible beauty of this princess. And this was the wife of Prachina Bahisat, the father of the Prachetas. Therefore, Prachina Bahisat, which was expert in Karmakanda and yogic practices, was very much attached to his wife. And Narada Muni, seeing that he was so perfectly following the Vedas, the Vedic scriptures, with such a wonderful sons as the Prachetas, he took the duty to preach to him and show the value of life through this story which we are reading, which is the story of Puranjana and Puranjani. Oh, Puranjana refers to the body, and Puranjani really is the intelligence. And he's describing how the body works. On Sunday, Prithivardhanam Prabhu was calling our attention about the need of deepening our determination in getting back to Godhead by becoming self-realized. It's a very beautiful class, and most beautiful because everybody could notice how the example is higher and louder than the precept. So when someone who really follows speaks, it's so enlivening. Yesterday, in a wonderful class by Srila Prabhupada in this room, he was in a very majestic, poetic, and extremely synthetic way explaining to us what's all the problem of the world about. And he just mentioned that Vedic civilization is supposed to make us happy. And he was pointing out that happiness means protection. And he started by saying we have to protect the young and the elderly. And he furthers his discourse and he says that's possible when you protect Brahminical culture and the cows. Because once Brahminical culture is in place, everything falls in place. Because the Brahman is one-stop person. If a real Brahman is worried about helping society, he can help you with astrology, with Vastu, with yoga, and finally with bhakti. So in one person, which is not dealing with you on a basis of profit, but on the basis of duty towards the Supreme, he will enliven and enlighten us in what we have to do in every and small aspect of our lives. So once the Brahminical culture is in place, then everything falls in place. Prabhupada was referring to Ugrakarma. He was talking about the oil problem. He said, just see how much problem. You have to go very deep into the ocean, create extremely expensive machinery, drill, put the risk of so many people, so many lives at the risk of death, transport that oil, refine it, pollute it, pollute the environment, pollute the oceans, pollute everything. Then you transport to many different places, transform this item into a commodity, then you sell it as petrol, and we think it's so practical. I get my car, I go to the petrol station, give a little money, and there I am, free to do what I want. He's just pointing how it is Ugra Karma. And because we can't see how many Vaishyas are along the line, we think it's practical. And he coins the phrase saying, what have they made? They have made simply trouble for all and everyone. So we get entangled in our insurances, in our all the systems which this Western world mostly, and now India also provides. It's coming to that. And we lose the opportunity of dedicating our time to Krishna consciousness. So he said, human life, according to the Vedas, is supposed to be happy. In the same lecture, mentioning Bhagavad Gita 13.8.12, he says that we should also understand that our real problem is birth, old age, disease and death. These are our real problems. And he's pointing out that society in general is not taking any measure against that. Society in general is simply wasting their days and nights. And here in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Puranjanam is described to be very captivated by his wife. And by that, the passing of days and nights is just happening and he's completely unaware of what he's supposed to do, what he's supposed to think and desire. And by that, complete loss of direction, he loses his life, as it's going to be clear towards the progression of the story. Radhanath Swami in his lecture says that it's a very unfortunate time where you have guided missiles and misguided humans. This is the real problem of life. And what Prabhupada wanted is to have guided humans in the form of the Brahminical culture. The Brahminical culture, it's the culture which permeates all the Varnashram and gives the rules and regulations for a happy and steady life. Srila Prabhupada mentions in many parts that a sincere devotee must be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishad, Vedanta, and other literatures left by previous authorities of Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. So that's the price we must pay for following Srila Prabhupada. We must be willing to follow the scriptures through his vision, because he is the founder Acharya. He has given the vision, and if we follow his vision, we are bound to be successful. Because what he has given is what pleases the Supreme Lord. And by pleasing the Supreme Lord, we are on the path of being happy. The plans of the Supreme Lord are bound to happen because he is the Supreme Lord. Our plans are small, fallible plans. Unless we align our plans with the plans of the spiritual Lord, we cannot have success. So the Lord is so perfect that seeing the age of Kali, he has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and has given this beautiful process of chanting the holy names. And Srila Prabhupada has given that Siddhanta of chanting the holy name in his wonderful books. Now we may analyze why Srila Prabhupada just gave two economical sections of life. He said, you do book distribution and you farm the land, protect the cows and the Brahmins. That's his vision. And we think that's very reduced. It can't afford all life, all community. Absolutely it can't. It's too reduced. There must be something between which he has not talked about. And I'd like to take the opportunity just to make a small reflection. Right before or next to us is a building which is estimated to be $60 million. And how has this building come about? Someone has given a book to a person who is influential, and by his purification, he became a disciple. And by the instruction of his spiritual master, he's doing. Just contemplate the power of book distribution. Anything in the world is available because people can be inspired to follow Krishna consciousness. Yesterday we were watching a small video which is actually a small propaganda of the lecture His Holiness Radhanath Swami gave in the Parliament of England. And how very interesting. I lived in India when I was a teenager, and still we could get the rests, the leftovers of that British feeling, we are the supreme controllers of this land. You are uncivilized people. That was the mood still in some places where we visited. We could still see some clubs which belonged to the royalty and would go in, and people would describe how the lords would go there to those places. And that was very much in our head. At the time there was a film called Heat and Dust. It was being recorded in Hyderabad. We were all invited to be part of the mobs. My father thought it wasn't a very good idea, so we didn't. So that feeling of superiority, which the Nizams and all these noblemen, theoretically noblemen of India, imbibed of superiority, being attached to that. Now this very country is welcome in its house of legislation, the House of Commons, His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Exactly speaking, that we are in need of a spiritual culture. Every human being is in need of that culture, because that's what we are made of. That's the essence of our existence. And listening to the video was very inspiring, because I could see some of our members opening up frontiers so wide, so deep, and so universal and connected to every word to the Shastra, that it shows how our culture, or the culture, not our, because our already supposes it belongs to us and not to someone else, how this culture which has inspired us, the culture of Krishna, is a universal culture. And by understanding that, the man will naturally conclude that what he has to do is what Prabhupada says. Our business is to come in front of Radha Madhava and worship them. That's our real business. So devotional service is the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced the Mahamantra. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end. For every one of us, whether you are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, it's the same process for reaching the supreme abode of the Lord. So the Vedic culture is so perfect that it can afford space for every single living being. Even either they be materialistic, like we are looking at Puranjana. His fault here is not that he is dealing with family life. His fault is the consciousness. Because Narada Muni is pointing out how does family life work. The principles Narada Muni is pointing here, they are not the materialistic way of life. Material, according to the Chaturshloki, Bhagavatam 2.9.34, Krishna is saying that Maya is to not see that he is in everything. And he says, apparently Maya is that, because Maya herself is not in that. Maya is an associate of the Lord. She is enjoying her pastime. But for those, Tatastha Shakti, who see anything separate from the Lord, then they are under the influence of the ignorance. Just like where there is no light, there is darkness. So if you choose to be in darkness, there you are in darkness. But it doesn't mean that light doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that if you choose to go to light, you won't go to light. So it's an everyday choice. Do I want to go to the light? Do I want to go to the darkness? And we have to make the choice every single moment. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami used to tell the story of two dogs. You have a bad dog, and you have a good dog. The winning one is the one that you desire to feed. And we have to feed every single day. Because we have to act. Because we are bound. We are imprisoned. And Prabhupada says, you cannot go to another planet. You're here in this planet. If you want to go to another planet, you cannot, because you're bound. And we are looking for freedom, because that's our natural state of consciousness. Krishna is the supreme free person. And Narada Muni, being the perfect bhakta, he's free, naturally. So we want to get bound, we want to get free from these boundaries of material existence. And how do we do that? Simply by following the precepts of the founder Acharya. So simple. But because we have so many attachments, at least I can talk on my personal account, these attachments stop me from following the Harinam, going deeper into devotional service, sacrificing myself more. And that's my challenge, my personal challenge. And perhaps it's our challenge to the level of advancement we are in. So here, the queen dressed very nicely, because in that way, the mind of her husband would be peaceful. That's how the woman becomes happy in her life, in her realm, because she controls the husband, and the husband is happy to work for the family. So Prabhupada says, that's very nice, family business goes well. In the previous verse, there was a talk on ignorance and passion. So the problem about family life is when ignorance and passion rule. It's when goodness comes. And that's what Prabhupada has taught us, how a grihastha should live. If he is settled in goodness, that means he knows Shastra and he follows Shastra. that's the definition of goodness, then family life is workable, is functional, is devotional, is helpful, is welcome. Even though in Shastra, family life is compared to a dark well. If you fall in a dark well in the forest, who's going to save you? You can scream forever. Nobody's going to save you. It's your business, your duty. You solve it. So if a grihastha is satisfied in his dark well and transform the dark well in the grihanda kupa, where he has all the facilities to be a grihamedi, then he's in dark well. But if he decides to use the facilities to serve the Lord, then he's glorified, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's glorified. He's a perfect grihastha. He was sacrificing his days perfectly, very, very regulated. And he produced this vision. We are sitting on his vision. A grihastha, the father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was the spiritual master of our beloved spiritual master, who brought us all together to this moment. So the point here is stressed, is not the form, it's the consciousness. A grihastha must understand that he's not the first class man, he's the second class man. Brahmachari has decided that he can deal with his attachment to the world directly with the spiritual master. Therefore, he's more glorious. And the grihastha needed, because he had some affection needs, a partner. So, by understanding that, immediately the grihasthas know that we have to cooperate with the renunciants. We depend on the renunciants. We are not independent. We need them. We very much need the renunciants. On the other hand, the renunciants must understand that we need the grihasthas because they are the economical, social basis. They are the majority of people. So once this cooperation is in place, you get something like chaupati. Just contemplate what is happening in chaupati. The complete cooperation. And I can give you a small example. Once I needed to talk to a senior devotee from the project, and I went to this convention where there are so many bhaktas, and there was one of them, and I asked him, how could I talk to this important personality? Being a simple member of this community, a simple grihastha, nobody so special, just a common person, commoner. And he immediately stood up, went to his authority, made an inquiry, came back, gave me a phone number, a name, a time to phone, he gave me everything. And with such a respectful mood that my admiration for his senior immediately increased. Immediately. And then I phoned and I was received by the senior person. When I came into the room with 800 students, he stopped his lecture and said, Prabhuji, welcome, be seated. You're very welcome in our forum. So I was completely shocked and taken by that reception. So simply, this is what Vedic culture is giving us, culture. The cooperation between all varnas and ashrams. Then we'll be successful. We'll have our crops, we'll protect our cows, we'll protect the Brahmins, we'll have our leaders, and we'll be an example. Because when that MP from London comes to Mayapur, what example is he going to look for? Is he going to look for the best facilities? In London he has triple, 10 times more. He's going to look for the essence of what he's been inspired by. So that's what each one of us should stand for when we're here. We represent a dream of acharyas, a dream of our founder acharya. It's not a simple economical question. It was too expensive to live in England or Brazil or wherever, so I came here because it's cheap. I can live here nicely and have a comfortable, beautiful life. It's really about how can I meet the dream of the acharyas in my world. Doesn't mean I have to do what I cannot. It means in my world I have to do what's possible. And to have that feeling that I have always to progress is the mood of Goloka. Because the spiritual world doesn't mean we have reached and it's finished. it means it's unlimited. The gopis are unlimitedly and eternally trying to please Krishna. It means it's expanding. So if our mood is we have reached it, where is the feeling of expansion when you reach the spiritual world? What will be the mood and the need to go forward to please Krishna more? The gopis were living in a house which doesn't rumble, doesn't fall. Their husband is not going to die. The calf is not going to die. The house is there. Every little bit is made of a transcendental gem which is full of consciousness. And yet they leave that facility to meet their beloved Krishna. What is the mood, what is the drive for someone to get out of his perfectly set living environment with a beautiful creek and all these beautiful flowers, with emerald parrots on the wall? You can leave all that and go to meet Krishna. Because Krishna is the source of your inspiration. The person, the feelings which they exchange with this person is the supreme destiny of their devotion. And sometimes we say that our beloved spiritual master has not given everything and we must go somewhere else to find something deeper. And right there, in the first sentence of purport 1.2.12, he just says, the Absolute Krishna is realized in full. In full, what does in full mean? Completely. By the process of devotional service to the Lord. Here. All the Rasika Bhaktas, this is the answer Prabhupada has already given. So, in a lecture, someone said, you talk about God, can you show me? Says, do you have eyes to see God? So this is the point. Prabhupada has given us every little bit of information we need. Economical, social, spiritual, the different realms of spirituality, the different rasas, the different levels of rasa exchange is all given by this wonderful personality. And if we simply follow with devotion and sincerity, we are bound to have what he gave us, the treasure of the spiritual world. So perhaps I'd like to end here. Or perhaps I'd just like to say one more thing, which I had in mind before I started. Recently I gave a seminar in Brazil about equilibrium, balance in relationships. And one of the topics which we're talking about is why relationships are so troublesome. And the reason is that relationship is a spiritual concept. But in the material world, we think we are the center, therefore everything must come from the world to me. But actually, relationship is a spiritual concept. It's from me to the world, to the other. In every single relationship where you go towards the other, you find response, you find beauty, you find something of value. Whenever you're the center, you're the controller, it's everything about you. Inspiration is little, force is big. So, relationship is a spiritual concept. And when we talk about materialistic life, what is so condemned about it? It's because it's all about ourselves. What I will gain from this relationship. What is in there for me? But as soon as we think, how can I be an instrument to enliven the other spiritually? How can I help this person to become Krishna conscious? Then there is response. Then there is relationship. Then there is community. Because we understand that relationship is about the other. It's about Krishna. Krishna is the other. He is the one jiva. We are the plural jivas. So as soon as you understand that pleasing him in every moment doesn't mean having a monotone behavior. It means that in every situation we are aware what we have to do. And it's not the same, it's completely different. If you deal with an elderly, it's one relationship. If you deal with a second elderly, there's another relationship. So the Vedic culture affords Takumar. She is the queen of the house. Didimar, she is the aunt, who is respectable, but it's not the same as Takumar. When Takumar is in place, the house is in feast. So we have to know how to deal, and every Bengali would agree with me, which each and every one of them. Now just say, Krishna came here, how would we relate to him? What would we say? What will we do? So that's the culture which is being talked about. Because that's what we need to know when we are face to face to Radha and Krishna. And that's what our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, is telling us in every single page. Srila Prabhupada has spoken in such a way that any level of realization can understand spiritual life is the basis of happiness. That is his glory for 10,000 years at least. So yes, I'd like to stop here, and I'd like to thank you very much. I'll deeply apologize. I can see so many senior devotees here. If I have said anything which is not in harmony with Shastra, with your conclusion being sadhus, please bless me that I can, and correct me. And if you have any questions which I can answer, otherwise we have many sages here in the audience, I'm sure.
Can you read text 2 again, translation, please?
Sorry?
Text number 2. Can you read again the translation?
Yes. It says, the queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautiful, decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion.
So what's this auspicious garment and ornament represent in the Krishna sense?
It means that once the husband gives not a plastic jewel from Navadvip, but he gives real jewels to his wife, her need for beauty, for rasa is met, and she becomes very happy because of two things. If you have given, as a brahmachari, an iPod or let's say a Kindle reader with all Prabhupada's book to your friend, he's going to be happy, right? You just say, hey, I like you, you're my friend for so many years, here's this very nice device which you can read all Prabhupada's book. Whenever there's a boring lecture, whenever you're not doing anything, you can just plug in, put it on your phone, listen to Prabhupada speaking. He's going to be happy? Yes. The same principle. The wife feels happy and satisfied. And by that satisfaction, the rasa doesn't need to go where the material rasa goes, to the material sex. It can take other turn, and instead of that, go to pleasing a Vaishnava, receiving people in your house, sponsoring a brahmachari to study, giving donation to people who distribute books. Go distribute books, your family. So that interaction, that stability, emotional stability, makes the husband think very soberly about family business. And when he's a grihastha, family business means how he's going to preach, how he's going to open a new temple, how is he going to protect brahmacharis, brahmanas and cows. So if he reaches home and his wife is throwing some pans in the wall, is angry with him because he's not sensitive, he's just a practical guy, he's not going to be very peaceful. He's going to conclude that material life is like that, I think divorce is my way. And it happens, it has happened. But if he understands that this, how this rasa works, his wife is satisfied, he's in the mode of goodness, house is in the mode of goodness, brahmacharis when come to their house appreciate the cleanliness, the wonderful prasada service, how the children follow shastra, so educated, then life is very peaceful and welcome. But if you come to the house, there's people screaming at each other, you won't be very happy to be doing a bhajan over there. So that's what this means. That when she receives ornaments, her natural need of satisfaction with life is met, because her husband has not given her a plastic jewel from Navadvip, but rather gave her a real diamond. And a diamond is expensive, so the guy must be serious about the relationship.
Okay, this queen Uranjani is the intelligence. Mm-hmm. So when does the intelligence wear this ornament and garment? The living entity.
Intelligence means that the woman is three, so she's able to expand. Okay? So let's say a man wants to expand his life. He can't. He's going to cook for himself. Have you ever cooked for yourself? It's the most boring thing you could ever done. You don't have any inspiration. But if you're going to cook for friends, then you make the best. If you're going to receive a Prabhupada disciple in your house, you do the best. If you're going to receive a sannyasi, if you're going to receive someone important, a friend which you love dearly, you do the best. Correct? So the woman is able to go into every single detail. Is prasadam right? Who is going to serve? What is the place? Men will have this general idea that it's everything is okay. Men are satisfied, okay? And women are sensitive. The duty of men is to be sensitive. The duty of women is to be satisfied. So intelligence means that she can understand the purpose of his husband, superior intelligence, and then she cooperates, and life is very wonderful. Because could you imagine what will be the world without mothers? Who's going to procreate? Who's going to give their acharyas? A son which only has a father to clean him up when he's a baby? I mean, he's not going to be very successful. He can do it. He can learn. It's not the easy task. So intelligence means that she can expand the field, and if she is inspired by the goodness of the husband, then it can be devotional, spiritual, then that can be progressive. But if the intelligence is simply how to enjoy the senses, that's your question I'm looking at, then that means that both will be degraded and civilization will become ugra karma. Prabhupada mentioned yesterday, you have one apartment in the 104th floor and you think you're so nice sleeping there, making sex, but the dog is making sex on the road, sleeping on the road, having the same pleasure. The amount of pleasure a dog has and a human has is the same, a demigod has is the same. One is in a cup of gold, iron and plastic. That's all. So the point here is how intelligence is used. Women are intelligent, and Prabhupada just mentioned in the purport before that when intelligence and intellect combine together, he's talking about the masculine and feminine principle. When they combine together, they work very nicely, they are very welcome. Actually, he used this term here. Without being attached to sex life, the husband and wife live together for the advancement of spiritual life. And this lack of attachment for sex life come from the inspiration of the Shastra, engagement of intelligence in the service of the Lord. That's what it means. Prabhupada is very clear here. But if you're a grihastha, and then he says here, I'll read this sentence. In other words, a systematic family life, as enjoyed in the Vedas, is better than an irresponsible, sinful life. If a husband and wife combine together in Krishna consciousness and live peacefully together, that's very nice. However, if a husband becomes too much attracted by his wife, he forgets his duty in life. The implication of materialistic life will again resume. So the devotee, I'm a devotee, I can do whatever I want, whatever I need. It's not confirmed by Prabhupada. If you can do, but what will happen? Materialistic life will resume. So it's really up to us. The intelligence is there. If it's used in the service of the Lord, it's perfect. Still have a doubt.
So we must give intelligence. Here, the Puranjana must be the person that supplies the intelligence with the ornament and garments. Uh-huh. So if the Puranjana does not give ornament and garments, the intelligence can look for another Puranjana to supply the ornament and garments.
Can you repeat that question?
Here the Puranjana is the man, the living entity. Before the intelligence put on the garments and ornaments, they must have been supplied by Puranjana. I don't understand how living entity gives intelligence these ornaments and garments. I don't know, I don't get it.
Alright, I will. You have shifted from the wife and husband to the body and the intelligence. Okay. Within oneself, the intelligence is responsible for telling us what is right and wrong. Okay? That will be fed by the Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu will feed that. The ornaments which you can give this intelligence is following strictly the Guru, thinking that you are the transformation you want to see in the world. You will become a first-class devotee. These are the ornaments which you can give to Shastra, which is your mother. As a brahmachari, you see Shastra as your mother and Guru as your father. So you can give your mother those ornaments. How? By using your intelligence according to Shastra, Guru and Sadhu and becoming a perfect brahmachari. Then your intelligence will go from a material intelligence to a spiritual transcendental intelligence. And the transcendental intelligence is not possessive because it's not material, so it will allow surrender. A possessive wife will not let the husband give food in charity, bring devotees. A surrendered wife will welcome devotees to her house, will do preaching, will receive devotees. So the intelligence being feminine and being superior to the mind and senses, if it's in the right place according to Shastra, Guru and Sadhu, it will do what we have to do. Then a brahmachari will think, I don't need to wait for the world to change, I'll change myself. That's the ornaments which a brahmachari can give to his intelligence, to his mother. Likewise, a husband, if he has a faithful wife, which is desireful to follow Shastra, he can preach. Otherwise, he'll take sannyas and then preach like Srila Prabhupada did. It's always, the direct way is always superior. So I congratulate you for your option. Okay? So we should finish. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.